Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure as we continue, as we head off into our 11th year, as we wrap up our 10th year and celebrate our 10th anniversary, which we're going to do next week. Fair warning. I'm giving you a fair warning on that, folks. And it's going to be pretty, it might be a little bit obnoxious, but I promise you, we'll try to have a little fun. Leslie Kossoff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. I'm gonna check on her timing here. I'm trying to remember how long she's been with us, and I've got it here almost here. Here it is. She's been with us. Coming up this next year will be 8 years that she's been a member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Executive Thinking. She's also the author of Managing for Quality. She is in England, joining us all the way from the UK, and she's one of the smartest people on the planet that I've ever met, and she's our good friend. Leslie, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure, Jim. It always is.
It's good to have you here.
Thanks. Well, you know, it's especially because I spend so much time over here, I particularly appreciate how wonderful a job you're doing for your folks. In the States, because there is no one like you over here, and they desperately need you.
Well, a lot of people would say there's no one like me anywhere else, and they're all grateful for that, too, Leslie. That's actually one of the things most people are proud or kind of happy about. Leslie, now you and I have talked many times about quality. And by the way, folks, those of you who know anything about the world of quality, the whole quality movement in the world, that all that stuff, know the name Edwards Deming, who is the grandfather, considered the grandfather of quality, and that story is worth checking out if you love the marketplace. Well, the last assistant that he had, and this I've always been jealous of Leslie for this. The last assistant that he had is Leslie Kossoff. I mean, she learned her craft. She got her education at the knee of the master. And the Swami of the of quality, Mr. Deming, Dr. Deming, I should say. And so, Leslie, here's my question. I came up, you know, in my consulting business and in the 80s and the 90s, I came up in the quality movement. I got caught up in it. I was involved in it. I was helping people with that. I wasn't a practitioner. I wasn't an expert, but I helped a number of companies acquire those guys and move toward the ISO 9000 certification and all that sort of thing. Is quality dead today? I mean, what is quality? Doesn't look like it did 15 years ago in terms of the whole environment, does it?
No, it doesn't. And there's both good and bad attached to that. The good part of it is that during that time period that you're talking about, and that was also when I was very actively, of course, involved in it, it became more like a cult, and because of that, it created that whole flavor of the month orientation inside of businesses, so that rather than understanding it to be both the strategic and tactical miracle, frankly, that it is, it just became another tool, another technique, another way to do
it. It became more topical and not intrinsic,
yes.
Didn't it?
Absolutely.
It should have. If it had taken a little bit of a different, if maybe it had become more fundamental and less fad, it would have become more intrinsic and not
yes.
something that was you know, that came and went.
Yes, absolutely. And the main reason why it was treated as a fad was because it tended to be driven not so much by the business owners or chief executives, but by someone inside the organization who found out about it, thought it was really sexy, really wanted to put it into place.
Right.
And as far as the chief executives or business owners were concerned, sounded good, should have some good turnaround, you know, do some good things for the organization. But there wasn't the kind of understanding and buy-in at the executive or owner level that needed to be there to turn it into something that was truly intrinsic and integrated into the organization.
But, you know, Leslie, I do believe that it was not something – I mean, a lot of fads came and went and nobody cares now. But I do believe that there's a lot of good things happened from that. I know a number of companies that went through that process, and they didn't – you know, they may not have gone a long, long way, but their companies are better off having been just aware of the concept. If nothing else, knowing the difference in my opinion, listening, you've heard me say this before, it's important for a small business to know the difference between quality service and quality process.
Absolutely, yes.
If a small business today will learn that distinction, which I'm going to let you talk about when we come back after these messages, folks, write this down. This is going to be in the test. The difference between quality service and quality process. If you can learn that, your world will change. 20 till. Here's Van Morris to take us out.
All the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the...
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need money.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Leslie Kossoff. She is the author of Managing for Quality and Executive Thinking, and she is our good friend. She was our good friend when she lived in the United States. Now she lives in the UK and is over there taking that country by storm and is kicking backside and taking names over there and making some things happen. I'm excited about what she's doing over there. And we're talking about quality. We're talking about the quality process, 21st century style, right, Kelly?
Yes, absolutely.
Leslie, when we went to the break, I was talking about quality service and quality process. For years, small business owners believed that one of their distinctions, one of the ways they could be differentiated from the competitors, is that we deliver a quality service. When something breaks, we fix it right away. We make sure that if we don't deliver it correctly, we bring another one out there, and we're Johnny on the spot, and blah blah blah. You know, it's quality service. Well, folks, for most people, quality service means what we do after something breaks. The quality process is how you create things so that they don't break. You deliver things properly. You don't halfway deliver it and then go back and fix it and be proud of yourself because you fixed it quickly. If you want to be proud of yourself, if you want to have extreme success, have quality process, and that way things don't get delivered the wrong way. They don't get made the wrong way. They get delivered the correct way the first time. And that's my explanation, Leslie. What do you think?
And I want to add one piece onto that for business owners, for small business owners. The research shows that when you are delivering quality service rather than quality process, the cost of quality service is up to 300 times as high as your cost would be were you to have done what you needed to do in the early stages to solve the problems before they occurred so that you didn't have to come back afterwards. The other thing about it, and we're talking 300%, and you also have customer attitude, because what you don't want is customers who think you're really great when things break but count on you to build things that break.
That's right.
So in terms of your credibility as a provider, as a business owner, you want to make sure that you're giving people what they want, the way they want it, when they want it. Basically, it's a lot back to what you were talking about with Jim from AnyStream.
Mm-hmm.
That ability to deliver
to
deliver exactly what it was that, you know, that the customer is asking for at that moment in the way that they want it at a level of quality that they don't have to question. Your customers have to see you as the most wonderful provider, because once they have what you provide, it's transparent to them. They don't have to do anything more. The second they have to pick up the phone,
instead of showing up and sticking your chest out and saying, "Aren't you proud of me, customer, for being here when you know when something broke?" At the end of the year, you're giving them a report saying, "We delivered 569 things to you, and none of them broke, or three of them broke, whereas the industry average for our industry is where 35 broke."
Absolutely.
You're showing them that how your service, how your quality process, I should say, actually converted to a good result for them.
For them, in terms of their costs, their ability to do business, and in the meantime, you have substantially reduced your own costs of doing business. And what it takes is a front-end orientation so that you are going to the very beginning of your processes to identify where do the problems begin to occur, and solving them at that point because they cost so much more if you find them later.
So what if we were in a real business,
yep.
A small business owner with say 20 employees, let's say,
yes.
has a real business and they go to their warehouse and they say, "Okay, tell me how many back orders we wind up with in an average month." They go to the delivery person, they say, How often do you deliver something and nobody's there?" They go to the purchasing agent. "How often are you not able to get a product that we need?" In other words, find out where I know you said backloaded, but wouldn't it be quicker for a small business owner to find the pain first and then go backwards to the front?
Okay, and you got my language backwards. I'm talking about you front load. You absolutely front load. And how you front load is you go to the very beginning of the process,
right.
to all of those people who are doing all of the initial steps that you have to deal with that end up looking like a problem at the end when it's delivered to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, if you're dealing with your warehouseman and you're trying to find out what the back orders are,
right.
if it's back orders on product that you're supposed to be supplying, then you need to go then into your organization to find out where are we having obstacles, where are the bumps in our road that are keeping us from being able to get what we need into the warehouse when the
right.
warehouseman needs it, so that the delivery guys can get it out, so that you systematically work your way, as you said, backwards
mm-hmm.
to the beginning of the process, and that's what I refer to and what the industry refers to as front loading. I would like to give your folks a resource because
okay.
on my website, which is kossoff.com, do we have music? I'll do this after the break.
Okay, that'd be fine. That's kossoff.com, KOSSOFF, two S's and two F's. Actually, two O's, two S's, and two F's. Only one K, .com. Check it out, folks. It's a good one. Kossoff.com. We come back. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about some real practical ways to make this happen, folks, in your small business. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lessingham, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Leslie Kossoff, and the website is kossoff.com, KOSSOFF.com. It's a website I've been proud to tell you about for a long time. Leslie, you have a resource there that you want to tell us about.
I do, because I've just recently redone the website, and it now has PDF downloads free of some of the main essays that I write in my monthly advisory, and please, everyone, feel free to subscribe to that.
Thank
it's
you.
Very easy online. And if you go into the main essays section, the most recent one, which is at the bottom of it, which is on strategy and how Whole Foods got it right, has a very detailed description of how one particular market, in a new market in London, which was their breakthrough into the UK marketplace altogether, zero-staged, which is what you and I are talking about,
mm-hmm.
Jim. It's the front-ending process. This is pure Deming at his best, of the zero-staging process. And not only do I explain how Whole Foods did it, but I explain in detail how anyone can do it. And this will take you immediately into how you cut your costs before you've even got a process, a service, a product in place. And
so the kinds of things that we're talking about that are remedial.
You're
going to get this from Leslie, folks, for free because you know me and because she knows me and she's so generous at this. People are paying her big bucks in Europe to get this stuff in their meetings. You're getting it for free just because you're a small business and you know me. And I'm telling you, take advantage of this, please. Leslie, here's a quick thought. I think of all the things you told us today, the most important thing, if I had to hang one thing on a nail today, it would be that it costs 300 times more to deliver quality service than it does quality process. And that's a magic number. And here's why. Let's say we got two vendors in there, and they're delivering the same product. They can deliver the same product. One of them is charging us 5% less, and we're trying to save money, so we go with that vendor. The other one's more expensive, but it's the same stuff they're delivering. But the one that's saving us money has got about 15% back order in any given month. The other one that charges us a little bit more has like 2% back order. What you're saying to us, Leslie, is that we're not saving money by going with the vendor that's causing us to have to do quality service and won't help us do quality process.
Jim, Deming would love you because that is so absolutely at the core of what he was presenting. That it's absolutely true. When you're only looking at cost, what you're actually doing when you cut costs is you are raising potentially the probability that you are going to actually increase your own operating costs.
Right.
And so you're absolutely correct. You go with the higher cost vendor because he's giving you what you need when you need it so that you can provide what you provide to your customers so that you keep your customers.
And we don't have enough people to go back and redo it. You know, Leslie, this quality thing fits the eye of a small business owner perfectly because we want to be, it's our nature to be loyal to people. We want best price. We just want people who help us make our organization work and in a way that we can still make a profit.
Work with people who will do the same for us.
Yeah. So, folks, when you're negotiating with vendors, when you're talking contracts, when you're working with people who are helping you put your pie together, who are adding ingredients to this pie that you're building for the marketplace, make sure that when you talk to them, you're not just evaluating what their price list is, but you're looking at what their ability to deliver is. When they see if they ask you, pay more attention to the one who talks about helping you to deliver to your customers, not the one who says we got the lowest price, because that's not how you. Because Leslie, that's not how small business owners make their living. We can't be the lowest priced company.
No, but ultimately you are able to differentiate yourself because you do provide a better product and a better service, but you can do it at a price that's competitive.
And that same story goes upstream, Leslie, as we talk to our big customers.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't be the low price. Tell them what you're going to do to make them more successful.
Because that's what everyone is looking for, and that's the value proposition that you provide. It's that benefit that goes beyond just the sale to how that sale helps them to succeed even more.
Leslie, we've got to wrap it up, unfortunately. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
You take care of yourself over there across the pond.
I promise I will. You too.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, as you can tell. I'm Jim Blasingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.